Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We must demonstrate our determination to fight against anything that can divide us, to be totally against any racism and anti-Semitism, because there was an anti-Semitic attack, a terrible anti-Semitic attack that was committed today in the kosher shop.
The Nazis are back, only this time they're not wearing a swastika on their arms. They're wearing another symbol. They're not marching, reading Mein Kampf. They are congregating in their rat holes, reading another book. Now, I wish that the day would arrive when our Muslim-sympathizing president would get up and say the Muslim word, the Islam word, and give a speech that even the socialist president of France just gave, where he said it was an anti-Semitic attack in a kosher butcher shop, where four hostages were killed by the new Nazis wearing headscarves. Even the socialist president of France said the truth. But our quisling, double-talking, abusive president doesn't even come close to the president of France. You know what happened, don't you? All you leftists, your Muslim friends, went on a rampage in Paris. And they killed leftist cartoonists. They ran into the woods. Then they took hostages. They got in a shootout with the French police special forces. And all of the vermin were killed. They were not brought to justice so they could give a show trial and talk about Allah and their religion of peace. They were executed where they were found. Unfortunately, four Jews were killed because Hitler is back. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Hitler is back, only he's not marching to the Horst Wessel song. And he's not carrying Mein Kampf. No, he marches to a different drummer today. And he carries a different book than Mein Kampf. But the end result is the same. Civilization is facing throwbacks from the 9th century who have taken their religion and not hijacked it, but interpreted it literally. Let's be very clear. They haven't hijacked Islam. This is all in the book. It's in their holy book. It says if you meet an infidel, cut his throat. Read the book. Read the book, for God's sake! Stop mincing words! Or we'll all die. Everyone knows this. Anyone with an IQ above 80 knows what's going on in the world. They're at the war. They're at war. It's a new crusade against the West, which I've said for 10 years now in about five of my books. They're in a new crusade to take over the West the way they did it originally, through murder, through hanging, through rape, through fire, through burning, through intimidation, not through the love of Jesus, not through the message of peace and love thy neighbor, but kill thy neighbor. Make thy neighbor submit to Islam. Islam means submission, Mr. Obama. I don't know how good your Arabic is. I would assume that it's good enough for you to know that the religion itself does not mean peace. It means submission. And if you doubt me, Mr. Obama, then I'll play a speech for you from one of their own, the hate preacher in England, Adam Choudhury, who says it's not about freedom and it's not about peace. It's about submission to them and their will. They don't believe in freedom. And what are we taking them in for into this country? Why are we bringing more of these throwbacks into this country? Now, if you think I'm the only one saying this, you are mistaken. In the United Kingdom, there's a conservative party led by Nigel Farage saying that multiculturalism is the biggest mistake the governments have made. So let's begin now with clip number one on the Savage Nation.
First thing we have to do is to recognize the mistakes of the past. Let's be absolutely frank and honest about this. We now have, within many European countries, and dare I say it, within the USA too, a fifth column. Living within our own countries, people, mercifully few in number, but people who are out to destroy, our whole civilization and our way of life.
Keep going.
Let's recognise the mistakes we've made. Uncontrolled immigration, just not knowing, in many cases, who the people were that were coming into our country. We have allowed, and I'm certainly speaking for Britain here, within our mosques, people coming in, heavily funded by some Middle Eastern states, you know, pushing a deeply unpleasant and anti-Christian heritage culture. Here's the biggest mistake that governments have made. We have promoted multiculturalism. We have promoted division within our societies. We have said to large numbers of people, you can come here from any part of the world. Please don't bother to learn our language. Don't integrate in any way at all. You can take over whole parts of our towns and cities, and we'll say it's made us a wonderful, diverse nation. That hasn't worked.
What would you do to wake up and hear John Boehner say something like that? Now, you know, John Boehner is too idiotic to even understand most of the words in those clips 1, 2, and 3. His vocabulary has never gone past that of an average steam fitter, if that level. But can you imagine if we had an opposition party in America that said what had to be said right now to save this country? How good you'd feel? How your eyes would brighten with hope? But look what we have, a man who wears skin coloring, man tan. John Boehner puts on skin coloring and mumbles with ice cubes in his mouth. Nothing, says nothing. We don't expect this from Obama. We know he's a fellow traveler. We know that he's a member of the fifth column. If not overtly, then covertly. Why does he enable them? Why does Obama enable the Muslim terrorists at every turn by not saying Muslim, not saying Islam, not saying it at all, rarely even saying terrorism? Why does he coddle them? Why does he bring them in by the hundreds of thousands? That's a question for the opposition party to ask, not for me, Michael Savage, to be asking. What were the recent terrorist attacks by Muslims, Mr. Obama? On April 15, 2013, the brothers Tsarnaev tried to blow up the Boston Marathon. They did it in the name of Islam. On May 22, 2013, Michael Adebolojo and Michael blah, 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 blue blow performed an Islamist rite on the streets of London by decapitating the British serviceman Lee Rugby with knives. They were Muslims. They did it in the name of Allah. A year earlier, on March 2012, Mohamed Merah was responsible for two attacks. He murdered two French commandos in Montauban for France's participation in the Afghan War, and then he killed a teacher and pupils of a Jewish school in Toulouse. He did it for Allah. On May 24, 2014, Mehdi Nemouche, 29, for the north of France, attacked the Jewish Museum in Brussels and killed the Israeli couple Miriam and Emmanuel Riva, as well as a French woman and a Belgian citizen. This was despite the fact that French intelligence had been keeping an eye on this piece of garbage, this throwback, this retrograde subhuman, because of his association with groups of Islamists who fought in the Syrian war in 2013. Friday, January 9th, the Cucci brothers were found in the U.S., on the no-fly list of Americans and foreigners who are barred from flying to the States. Why were they not put into prison in France before they did what they did, killing 12 people at the Charles Hebdo satirical magazine? Tell me why the West is so weak and stupid. The biggest threat to French free speech is not terrorism. The biggest threat to American free speech is not terrorism. It's liberals in our government and liberals in our media and liberals in our midst who are the enemies within. The phone number for this unprotected talk segment of the program is 855-407-2822. I'm going back to unprotected talk for a couple of reasons today. I suspect you're going to want to talk about the terror attack by Muslim terrorists and the cover-up by the useless cowards in the media. And our freedoms are under assault, make no mistake about it. The very core of liberalism is the word liberal, liberation, freedom. And yet, isn't it ironic that the liberals won't say what needs to be said to protect the core of their own ideology? They would rather capitulate and walk on all four, rather than stand up and say, we are free people, we will not kowtow to a group of retrograde throwbacks. Have you heard that yet from CNN? I haven't heard it even on Fox. They wouldn't even say kosher butcher store this morning. Fox News wouldn't even say Jewish. Fox News is 18% owned by Prince Alawi, I believe. And there's a definite cordon sanitaire around the Muslim word. That's why Martha Washington doesn't impress me too much on Fox News. That's why none of the leg crosses impress me too much. They're all marionettes of the prince who owns 18% of Fox News. And now you understand the rest of the story, which is why I, Michael Savage, the independent, has never been permitted on Fox News since he took over that network. Let's go to the first caller, line one, city, topic, name. Go ahead, please.
Washington, W-M-A-L, Martin is the name. Your second hour yesterday was your finest hour and perhaps the finest hour ever given on talk radio. In fighting your own battle, you also struck a blow for all of us.
You're talking about my freedom of speech award to the Cambridge Union that was not permitted to be given. After I'd been banned in England, they invited me to speak. Then the government told them they couldn't invite me. That one, I don't know what we played in the second hour, but I'd like to get it up on my website. If someone could remember what it is, we'll get it up for you. I don't know what it was exactly. Was it the speech that I was going to give? Is that it?
Well, yes, the speech you were going to give and your remarks before and after.
I know that a lot of people who have listened to me for years were moved by that hour. And I know that a lot of new listeners couldn't understand the level of intensity and articulateness that they heard in that show yesterday. It's a show to be remembered. And, of course, no one in the media made any note of it when I said I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain. Not one of the left-wing operatives, even on Fox News, would even comment on that. So it's painful to work alone. It's painful to be ostracized because I'm a truth teller and I speak truth to power. But the fact of the matter is, I do it anyway.
I want to
thank you for listening on MAL, where the show is booming. By the way, I got to tell you something. Someone's listening on WMAL because the last we checked, I had the largest ratings of any day part show in talk radio on WMAL. And I emphasize day part. We don't count shows that occur at night. They're for a whole different audience. Night shows are a total different story. Most normal people turn their radios off at 6 o'clock and do normal things. But day shows are another story where the competition is much different. I thank you for noting that. Let's go to line two. Line two. Oh, no, we can't take line two. I'm almost out of time. We are doing unprotected talk because my blood is boiling today. And after the last 3 days of dealing with the murder and the mayhem and the cowardice of the West, frankly, I'd rather you lead and I'll follow. We have one open line at 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
France is our oldest ally. I want the people of France to know that the United States stands with you today, stands with you tomorrow. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families who've been directly impacted. We grieve with you. We fight alongside you to uphold our values.
What are they?
Values that we share.
What are those?
Universal values.
What are they, Mr. Obama?
That bind us together as friends and as allies.
This is the President of the United States giving a useless speech that a librarian at Harvard would give about the same speech. We're living in a time of lunacy. We're at war. They're at war with us. And we have spineless Neville Chamberlains running our country at every level. Both parties now. Not just Obama. Look at Boehner the drunk. Mantan Boehner. What did he have to say about the terror attacks? Nothing, mumbled with ice cubes in his mouth. Now compare that speech again to a real leader, the leader of the far-right UKIP party in the United Kingdom that just might save England from the disaster of multiculturalism, from the flood of Muslims that have taken over England, where Muhammad is the number one name amongst babies. They just might save that country in time. 5 more years of Obama's policies and there is no America anymore. There's nothing left. They will eliminate our borders, language, and culture. And we will be overrun to the point where we can no longer defend ourselves.
Listen to clip three again. You'll hear leadership.
Here's the biggest mistake that governments have made. We have promoted multiculturalism. We have promoted division within our societies. We have said to large numbers of people, you can come here from any part of the world. Please don't bother to learn our language. Don't integrate in any way at all. You can take over whole parts of our towns and cities, and we'll say it's made us a wonderful, diverse nation. That hasn't worked.
Well, no one can argue with that. Except those who want to destroy America. Those who want to see women wearing veils and not driving cars. Those who want to see women forced to have clitorectomies. Those who want to see schools closed down that teach Western values. I can go down the list. But anyone who studied the war that we are engaged in knows that every word I've just stated is a word of truth. Britain's MI5 chief gave a rare speech yesterday. He rarely is seen at all. Director General Parker said in a rare public speech at MI5 headquarters in London that Al-Qaeda in Syria is planning massive attacks on Western targets. And they don't just mean France, they don't mean England, they mean your country as well. The head of Britain's MI5 security service said on Thursday that they intend to inflict mass casualties on us against transport systems or iconic targets. He warned a strike on the United Kingdom and Western nations was highly likely. He said a group of core Al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria is planning mass casualty attacks against the West. Now, you better take his word seriously. He is not John McCain. He's the head of one of the best intelligence services in the world. His last public speech was in October 2013, is rarely seen. And in the speech, which was planned before the killings in Paris, General Parker said seasoned Al-Qaeda militants in Syria aim to cause large-scale loss of life, often by attacking transport systems or iconic targets in our nation. Well, you know, you can put two and two together. Or you can put two and two together and come up with seven, if you want to be a liberal with your head in the sand. The fact of the matter is that these guys who did this in France were on a watch list. They had been arrested. They had been released. Why were they not executed? Well, there's no death penalty. Don't you think there should be a death penalty for any terrorist? Why has Obama kept Major Nidal Hassan, the man who killed 13 in cold blood and wounded 35 at Fort Hood? Why is he still living? Why has Obama prohibited the Army from executing Major Nidal Hassan? Ask yourself why. Is he a fellow traveler? Ask yourself the question. Don't get mad at me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I have to play for you a soundbite from the fellow travelers at MSNBC. They're the terrorist best outlet. As you well know, the individuals who have trashed NBC by permitting these left-wing fanatics to run wild over the airwaves, such as Al Sharpton attacking the New York Police Department, the terrorist attacking our way of life. And you have to blame only one person, and that's the idiot who runs MSNBC. Phil Griffin is the reason MSNBC is the laughingstock and the embarrassment that it is, but we're way past that. They are now a propaganda arm of Al-Qaeda. Listen to clip number seven. From one of the people that Phil Griffin invites on MSNBC. Listen.
There are always going to be extremists. There are Christian extremists. There are Jewish extremists. There are Muslim extremists. These people kill innocent people. It's very tragic. It's very unfortunate. It should be condemned. But that is not provident to one faith. All faiths have extremists, and that will happen regardless of what our policies are.
Now, the faith with the most extremists is the faith of liberalism. The faith of progressivism has the most extremists of all, and they're the ones who are sort of the internal autoimmune disease attacking our police, attacking our soldiers, attacking our defense cells. They are an autoimmune virus. The radical left in this country is the retrovirus acting against the body politic. You have to study the basics of epidemiology to understand even the rudiments of that. As you all know, we have an immune system that fights infections and quashes bacteria, viruses, protozoans, and other invaders of our body, which are ever present. And that's why we keep our immune system healthy. when you have a retrovirus introduced to your body, as in the HIV situation, this retrovirus invades our defense cells themselves, such as invading MSNBC. See, the media was supposed to be our defense cells against terrorism. So these retroviruses invade our defense cells like MSNBC. They become part of MSNBC. They replicate inside MSNBC. They replicate inside CNN. And they produce more and more of themselves. And so you can't distinguish between the enemy and the defense cells themselves. And that's when a body starts to die with an autoimmune disease. That's what's happening because men like Phil Griffin have permitted these retroviruses to proliferate inside MSNBC. And whoever runs, I think it's Jeff Zucker, runs CNN. And so you have this retrovirus metastasizing in the form of Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, and the other extremists who continue to put out the big lie so that the people watch it and say, how could he get away with saying a thing like that? Now, counter that retrovirus of CNN or MSNBC with me. I say it like it is. The fact is that this is the way it is. It's not just the way I see it. This is the way it is. My view is the correct view. My view is the only view. My view is the right view. It is not open to discussion because it's right. And I'm sick and tired of debating with terrorists who are here to kill us. There's only one way to deal with them. Go back and look at history. Look at what General Pershing had to do. Go back and look when we had real warriors at the top instead of these businessmen in military uniforms waiting for their contracting gig to begin as soon as they retired on a $200,000 a year pension. So why is it that I, as an independent broadcaster, say it like it is and they can't? They could do it. They could hire people who say it like it is. There are plenty of them around. There are many people who know what's going on. Why doesn't Phil Griffin hire someone who says it like it is, instead of letting these junior college extremists get away with attacking America and American values on a daily basis? Why is it that Jeff Zucker, who they cut a throat down a well, why does he let these extremists apologize for the Muslim terrorists? Zucker, who are you? Zucker, you're ashamed to your parents, is what I'd like to say to him, to his face. And now, you know, I just got a report. It just came in a minute ago. KKOB Albuquerque again rises to the top. Program director Pat Frisch reports that having the station now rose back to number one, Cumulus Media's News Talk KKOB in Albuquerque, 770 on the dial, has risen back to number one in the fall 2014 survey. Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage finished in first place in the 12-plus, 2554, and men 2554 demos. Now, why is it that I'm rising while these networks that tell these lies are falling? It's because I think the American people are awakening to the danger that they are in, and they need to go somewhere for a voice of reason, a voice of truth, the plain truth, the unvarnished truth. And that's the end of the story. There's no other reason. Now let's go to the open, unprotected talk, line 5. Go ahead, please. Name, city, topic.
Carl, Sacramento, California, KSFO.
And your topic, please.
John Boehner. Talk about Obamacare and immigration. John Boehner has really worked over the American people or the conservatives who support the Republican.
Yes, but we know that. That's an old story. Boehner is a Quisling sellout. I call him President O'Boehner. So what more can we say about the fact that he needed to be fired and he isn't? Is there something new in your call that is worth listening to on a national talk show?
Yeah. No, I look at his name, B-O-E.
All right, that's enough with that. Now, so give me numerology next. A B is a 3 and an O is a 3. An H is a 3 and a 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a 3 and then it's 13 and 13 and 26 is 29. 29 and 3 minus 13 means 25 and 25 minus 1 is the rising moon, which means I'm going to hear one of those now. Line 4, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello, sir. My name is Michelle. I'm out of Alexandria, Virginia.
And my nice. A Southern Belle calls the Savage Nation. What a nice change of pace to hear such a sweet voice. And what's on your mind today?
Well, my question was really, why is it that we don't have anything in the religious areas concentrating on going back against these people? We hear that the conservatives are voting in things. What about the religious people here? Where are the Christians? Where are the Jews? Why are we not standing up saying, we will not do this and not voting for people who are doing things against.
Because the churches have been compromised by the federal government. They're receiving huge grants, which is a violation of the separation of church and state. Catholic Charities is compromised. They're involved in the immigration, a resettlement racket to the tune of billions of dollars. Baptist Family Services got a $300 million grant on one occasion for the resettlement of illegal aliens from Guatemala this summer, so the Baptists are silenced. The Jews, the same. Wherever you turn, they've been bought out by Obama's federal government. It's astounding what's going on in front of our eyes.
If that's the case, then, and money is talking, then why is no one realizing that the conservatives are the ones that are making money? You as a conservative show, conservative radio, conservative news.
Now you've jumped from religion and churches to what? Radio now we're talking about?
No, we're talking if conservatives can make money, then why aren't more people on the bandwagon of conservatism?
Yes, that's right. In other words, if my show's thriving and shows like mine are thriving, which they are, why do the networks continue to drive us into the ground and run us into the beach with their left-wing ideology is the question, correct?
I have a large bunch of people here that listen to you.
Well, I will tell you the answer if you give me 1 second. The agencies that run the ad business are all run by fanatic left-wingers, and they determine where the ad money goes. So they support the left-wing message, and they condemn men like me. Did you know that?
That's obscene.
I mean, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm not allowed to say that, but I know the politics of the business. It's totally biased. It's a punishment for telling the truth and a reward for telling the lie. But it's listeners like you that will eventually change the media landscape. Thank you for listening to The Savage Nation on such a regular basis. Now we go to CNN, run by Jeff Zucker, another compromised retroviral network, where they have someone by the name of Reza Aslan, I don't know who it is, attacking America because we have not permitted the invaders to take over the country. Listen to clip number 8.
There's a civil war taking place in Europe. The Europeans don't know who they are anymore. They're fighting to figure out who they are. They're looking around. The place doesn't look like it did 50 years ago. There are black faces and brown faces and Asian people. And particularly in France, an aggressively secularizing country that has never really tolerated multiculturalism or the kind of cultural religious diversity that is the hallmark of the United States.
Now listen to clip 10 when the lunatic fringe finally expresses itself.
In France, one of the largest parties, the party of Marie Le Pen, the National Front, is a virulently anti-Muslim party and very well may win the next elections. You have the UKIP party in the UK, the Pegida in Germany. This is a party whose sole platform seems to be, let's get rid of all Muslims. And so this has created this sort of intense tension among the Muslim population in Europe and the non-Muslim population.
See, when you hear the word sort of, you know what it is, a college boy. The word sort of is a kind of collegey thing, sort of. That's a little phraseology just to give you a hint as to who you're listening to. It's a university, a pseudo-intellectual phrase, sort of. You hear it a lot on MSNBC from the pin girl, the woman who looks like she works as a pin girl in a bowling alley. She used the word sort of with that ironic smile of hers. So in other words, because the Muslims are finally being called out for what they're doing to Europe, that's created tension among the Muslim population. Well, they have an opportunity to go back to their brethren where they came from. If they don't like Europe and they don't like the fact that Europe is a secularized group of nations that believe in Western values of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, where women can actually drive a car and go to college, then they can move back to Africa, they can move back to Asia, they can move back to Pakistan, they can move back to Syria, they can move back to Lebanon. You know, there's an old phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, and if you don't want to do what the Romans do, then go back to the hellhole you came from. Line 3, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dave, KKLB, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Bravo, and what's on your mind, Dave?
You know, the guy that precedes you, Rush, he won't answer the question I want to ask you. Why is it the Democrats, the Clintons in particular, are so afraid of this documentary that came out about Pathway to 9/11? Why is it that these...
Oh, so you're one of the conspiracy theorists who believes the government did it itself?
Am I a conspiracy theorist? No.
Well, what you're alleging is that we did it ourselves. That's what the so-called documentary alleges. Correct.
Well, it's been put on Newsmax quite a bit, and I'm quite curious what's in there that the Democrats.
Well, what is it that you tell us what's in it? Just tell us what's in it.
No, that's what I'm asking. What?
I don't watch crackpot documentaries in my spare time.
I know you don't, but
so
what if...
How can I comment on a crackpot documentary, which I'm pretty much, it's a conspiracy theorist, one of the truthers, which is that the government did 9/11 itself. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what they...
All right, we're going in circles. You know, I'm glad you listened on KKOH, but all right, we'll move on. So here we are. Now we have another man who's always given me the creeps. If I was staging a World War II movie and I needed someone to play an older SS officer, I would book Zbigniew Brzezinski, not because he's a Nazi, no, not at all, but he seems to look like he could play the part very well. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, as you well know, is the architect of multiculturalism, or one of them. Zbigniew Brzezinski was one of the architects of the Arab Spring. Zbigniew Brzezinski is one of the most dangerous people in the history of the American political structure, in my humble opinion. Here is the man saying using the term jihad gives legitimacy to the lunatic fringe, once again apologizing. When I come back, you'll listen to Zbigniew Brzezinski on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-C-O-I-N. News on the Savage Nation, and this is good news for the good guys and bad news for the retrograde throwbacks who would like to drag us into the 9th century. Radical cleric Abu Hamza, that's the one-eyed or one-armed piece of garbage, has been given life in prison by a U.S. court. Radical Muslim hater Abu Hamza al-Masri has been sentenced to life in prison by a court in New York for supporting terrorism. He was convicted in May of multiple charges, including hostage taking and plotting to set up a terrorism training camp in the United States. His trial followed a lengthy extradition process from the UK. Now, listen to this. During the sentencing, his liberal lawyers asked the judge to take into account his missing hands and eye. They also argued that a plan to imprison this piece of garbage in Colorado's Supermax federal prison would violate assurances that the U.S. made to judges in London to secure his 2012 extradition. But prosecutors argued today, Friday, that the U.S. government had never made such a promise to the U.K., and life in prison for this throwback was the only appropriate sentence. Judge Catherine Forrest called Abu Hamza's actions barbaric and misguided, and said she was sentencing him to life in prison because she could not think of a time when it would be safe to release him. She added she would leave it to the U.S. prison officials where he would spend his imprisonment. So let's say that's score one for us and score zero for the throwbacks. And now let's go back to regular programming. One of the fellow travelers, in my opinion, is Zbigniew Brzezinski, a man who has been out to decimate America with his liberalism. He's a good friend of George Soros. He's part and parcel of the cabal that has busted our borders, bastardized our language, and stepped on our culture, in my estimation. Here is Zbigniew Brzezinski on the retroviral network, MSNBC, in clips 11, 12, 13, and 14.
Some of the cartoons were absolutely appallingly vulgar and directed at the prophet himself. Now, is that really humor, or is that an insult designed to provoke? Some of you referred again to jihadist groups, jihadist terror, and so forth. Jihad means holy war. We are advertising them and reinforcing them in their beliefs when we talk like that. The real Muslims are not waging a holy war against us, at least not yet. But the objective of the fanatics is to turn the entire Muslim world against us. And we have to be clever and try to avoid that while opposing these extremists, these fanatics, who do not, as of now, even come close to representing the world of Islam.
Really? Well, they say they are representing the world of Islam, Mr. Small New Brzezinski. Mr. Small New Brzezinski, ask them whether they are representing the world of Islam. We don't trust your forked tongue, Small New Brzezinski, because your message is very old. We had fellow travelers in the 1930s who apologized for Hitler, Mr. Small New.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number two of the one and only Savage Nation. Now, what can I say that I haven't already said over the last 3 days since the Muslims have gone on the warpath, this time in France? I realize I shouldn't say Muslims. We should use code words, terrorists, gunmen. Let's see what other words Anderson Cooper is allowed to use and Bill O'Reilly. What other words are O'Reilly allowed to use? I think they can say gunmen. What other words are they allowed to use, Robert? Attacker. They can't even say terrorist on Fox News. Certainly not on Jeff Zucker's CNN or Pil Griffin's MSNBC. They have to use phrases such as gunmen. Gunmen. Oh, alleged gunmen. Right, Jim. Sorry, alleged gunmen. With grievances. They had grievances. Then immediately pull out the apologists with the grievances that the gunmen had, such as unemployment, a lack of tolerance in Europe for their terrorist ways, misunderstood youth, like the people in Ferguson or in New York City, the ones who continue to cause the ruckus. They are just misunderstood youth with real grievances against the police. Now, you know, I want to take you back in time. Suddenly it's 1936, 37, 38. And we're going to be in New York City together. And in Madison Square Garden on the stage, there's an American flag. And in the middle is a picture of George Washington. Picture it. And there's an American flag on one side and a Nazi flag on the other. And in the audience are American Nazis. And the speakers are American Nazis talking about the wonders of Adolf Hitler and how going to war against the Nazis as they were taking over one country after another would be a violation of international law, and that the German people are behind the Nazis 100%, and that they're just taking back land that was due to the German people, and that they love America and they love the American way. And they were called the German-American Bund, B-U-N-D. I remember finding this in a box of magazines when I was cleaning out some store stuff my father had. I go through the books and the magazines, which he threw out because they couldn't sell them in those days. And I was shocked as a young boy way back in the 50s to find that magazine cover. I think it was Life magazine, because I didn't know that Nazis were allowed to display themselves in America in the 30s. I had no idea. But then as I grew up, I came to learn what a liberal democracy is and how wonderful it is, how it permits Nazis, Muslim terrorists to march around and espouse their hatred. And then I realized that there were fellow travelers even then justifying the Nazis' moves, saying that they did need the land for living space. They needed to take over Poland because Poland really didn't know how to govern itself, and it was for the betterment of the Polish people, and on and on. And so there's really nothing new under the sun. We right now have a fifth column in America, as exemplified primarily, not solely, by CNN run by Jeff Zucker and by MSNBC run by Phil Griffin. They fundamentally are the fifth column by permitting and giving a forum to America's terrorist operatives and their front groups, in my opinion. So what are we to do about this? Well, first you have to out them for who they are. First you have to call it like it is. First you have to start saying it like it is. You have to say Phil Griffin is a retrovirus for permitting this to go on MSNBC, and he should be fired. Then you have to say Jeff Zucker is part of the retrovirus. He needs to be fired to permit CNN to become a legitimate news organization again. If you say it, it will happen. Their ratings alone should have done it a long time ago, but that doesn't seem to reach the stockholders. And now we come to today's news. The war zone in Paris. You know what happened. Terror. Muslim terror. Islamist terror. Islamic terror. It's clearly what it is. These pieces of garbage, these animals that were killed today, were known to the French. They were released from prison to go and do their dirty work. They should have been executed. But because France does not have the death penalty, and because France is run by socialist liberals, as is America, they were released in the street to plot and to kill again. Now, what will happen next is interesting. They were trained in Yemen. A member of the Yemen branch says the group directed a French attack, came out of Yemen. So what do you think is going to happen next? Well, I have some information from someone who claims to know, whose name I cannot give you, who says he knows people high in the intelligence community. I have to find it from this morning. And here it is. It's from the morning. One, he says, Michael Savage, the NSA is going back through all that illegal listening they did, and there's a quote mark around illegal, to find out who else these dead bastards called on their cell phones. Two, France, yes, France, is preparing to bomb Yemen. They have to. Three, the Brits don't know what to do. You might even get bumped lower on the no-enter list. And four, the New York Police Department will resume watching mosques over the objections of Comrade DiBladio. So I said, how do you know this? I mean, how do you know the NSA and the France and the NYPD? And he said in his next email, I said, who knows this? And he said, and no one will eat kosher food in solidarity with the Jewish victims in Paris. So I then sent him a reply to that, which was hashtag we are all corned beef. And he sent back a note saying, I love it. See, I don't see hashtags we are all corned beef, or hashtag we are all blintzes, or hashtag we are all knishes now. And he said, Michael, I love it. He said, I was talking to a pal who was with the State Department. He said, the NSA review of phone messages began when the names of these animals were found out yesterday. He said that he's heard the French are already planning their bombing mission against Yemen. So let's see what happens and see if that's accurate. I pray to God we get the nerve to act like a sovereign nation and finally hit them where they live. You know, there's an old adage from George Orwell, which I've never forgotten. If a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put one in his mother's house first. Instead, we have Brzezinski, Zbigniew Smolinski, having the audacity to say that we shouldn't even publish cartoons because it's offensive to some of these retrogrades. In other words, let's get rid of the First Amendment because it may offend these retrogrades. Well, you know, it also offends them, Mr. Smolinski. Mr. Smolinski, they don't like women driving cars either. You know, and maybe women shouldn't be permitted to drive cars in the West because it's offensive to some of the veiled folks walking around amongst us. I can go down the list, but it might get too vulgar for you, Mr. Smolinski. It now is open mic, meaning unprotected talk on the Savage Nation. And that goes back to the programming I introduced 2 weeks ago, which is taking the talk landscape by storm. This is a little different than those who say they have, open mic Friday. No, this is much different than that. It may be open mic, but they see your name, your city, and what you're going to say up on their boards, and they're carefully screened on the open mic. I did that for many years. This is something new. This is unprotected talk where I don't see your name, I don't see your city, and I don't see your topic. So I go into your calls blind, which means I can take opposition callers, and we can have a real discussion on any topic. So I have to be on my toes, and I am. And now let's go to line number 8. Go ahead, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Lon, WABC New York, sir.
What's your first name?
Lawrence.
All right, Lawrence, fire away. Topic.
All right, here. The fifth column is Barack Hussein Obama. He is a Muslim. He's a Muslim Brotherhood plant. I've mentioned this on your show many times before. I called him a hologram. He's not a hologram. He's very visual as to who he is. He is in...
No, I called him a hologram. You didn't call him a hologram. I named him a hologram.
Okay. But nonetheless, he is in support of Islam. Islam will be, according to the Book of Revelations, and by the way, sir, you are a prophet of God, as I have been myself, for telling the truth about what's going on in the country.
Wait, please, don't include me in your psychosis. I'm not a prophet of God. I'm one American with a lot of education. I've read widely. I have a very good analytical mind, and I would not say that's prophetic. But if you want to walk in the shoes of Jesus and consider yourself a disciple, go ahead. What else do you have to say right now?
The spirit of the truth is within you, sir, and you...
Yeah, I understand. I do have the spirit of God within me, but so do all people of conscience.
Exactly, yes.
Right? All people of conscience means what? What does the word conscience mean? Well, you could say it means with science, but it doesn't mean with science. It's with consciousness. It is with consciousness. I would say that any conscious human being has the spirit of God in them.
It's the opposite of demonic possession, which is taking place all over the world.
Yes. Oh, it's awful. We live in a debased society where there is no honor whatsoever. In fact, I have a story that I printed up on that exemplifies that. If I can put my hands on it, I consider myself a real prophet. I have too many articles to even find it. I can remember it, though. The article appeared this morning, and it was that a group of students in an ethics class at Dartmouth College, a former Ivy League school, now nothing but an institution of lower learning, Dartmouth in New Hampshire, you know, Ivy League, what that means today, you have anyone's guess what it is? Ivy League, oh, you send your child to an Ivy League, they come back a degenerate, psychotic, America-hating, family-hating, business-hating loser. So the losers at Dartmouth were forced to take an ethics class, and they were found to have been cheating in an ethics class. And most of them, by the way, were athletes forced to take an ethics class. But it gets even better than that. The classes at Dartmouth now have a system of test taking that is electronic, meaning they don't even write anything anymore, because that would rule out some of the multicultural students who can't write their own names in English, who now want an Ivy League education so they can go to work for the Gap as an assistant CEO on the day of their graduation. So they don't even give them a written test anymore. It's now electronic. And they were passing the electronic test. It's a clicker they use. Can you imagine they give them a clicker to use? And these athletes at Dartmouth were passing the clickers from one athlete to another. This is your Ivy League school today. Now, look, this is unprotected talk. We don't have to talk only about the Muslim terrorism in Paris and the frankly sad outcome, which is the death of four hostages, mainly four Jews. Once again, Jewish blood has been spilled, this time not by the Nazis. This time, Hitler is wearing a headscarf. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Well, the siege in the kosher market is over. Unfortunately, four Jewish people were killed by the vermin. And the vermin who killed them was killed as he knelt to make his afternoon prayers to Allah. And as he bent over on his prayer rug, the police barged in and shot the man. I guess that's a hate crime. I suspect that the police will be brought. If it was in America, I think Eric Holder would consider bringing a hate crime against the special forces for shooting a Muslim during a prayer. I mean, there should have been a timeout, right? It doesn't matter that he killed four people before that or would kill 4 million after that. He was praying. He was practicing his religion. And as he bent over on his prayer rug to pray to Allah for good luck and good fortune in killing more innocent people, the special forces managed to close down, knock down the door and shoot him. On the run is a piece of garbage woman, a French terror woman, with pimples all over her face. I guess she was a loser to begin with. So she joined this band of scum. And she killed a policeman. And this rat woman with, she's got pimples all over her face. She looks like one of these ads you see on the high channels late at night for pimple cream. But the French terror girl is on the run after killing a policeman. And they released a mugshot of the female rat woman. They don't know where she is. She's hiding, no doubt, in one of the ethnic neighborhoods of Paris, being given... a veil, perhaps, to hide in. You know that veils are prohibited in France. Did you know that? As liberal as France is, they had the wisdom to ban the burqa and ban the building of minarets over mosques because it destroyed the landscape of their country. Would you believe this? This is hard to believe that even liberal France has come to understand that their culture was being decimated by the invaders from the Middle East. Hostages killed in Paris supermarket siege. Commando storm a supermarket in eastern Paris is a deadly siege. Leaves a number of hostages, meaning Jewish hostages, dead. Once again, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine in Europe. The Jews were the canary in the coal mine in World War II and during that period. Once again, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine against the new breed, which is an even more vicious breed than the Nazis. In other words, the Nazis were bad enough, but these people are worse. These people are worse because they hide behind a religion, which makes them a little less easy to kill. And the Nazis didn't hide behind a religion. They hid behind a vicious ideology, it is true, a racist ideology. But they didn't have a religion to hide behind, so people could look right at it and say what it was. But now here the liberals are, oh, it's just their religion. No, you can't say that. Nothing to do. Not religion. Not religion. Not Muslim. Not Muslim. Not Muslim. Nothing to do with Islam. Not Islam. Not Islam. No Islam. No Islam. Not realism. Not Muslim. Not Muslim. So now we have the apologists, the fifth column here in America, operating in overdrive because of Jeff Zucker and the one who runs MSNBC, Phil Griffin. So it's not a good day for America. It's not a good day for a war, for the world. The world is at war. We know who is conducting the war against our way of life. And, you know, many of us have problems with the extreme social liberalism that we live with every day. The vermin of Hollywood, for example, continue to insult the dignity of humankind in their behaviors. And I don't have to spell it out for you. And this is an affront to people, whether they're religious or not. They find it abhorrent to continuously have to read about some talentless piece of garbage with a fat behind, day and night, who makes millions of dollars a year walking around with a fat behind. No one even understands why she's a media star. So we understand we live in a debased society where someone's behind becomes more important than the writings of a Schopenhauer, for example. In other words, if you have a fat behind and wear yoga pants in Hollywood, they make a movie about your life and you make millions of dollars and no one even knows who Karl Marx or Schopenhauer was. I'm not putting Karl Marx up on the big board, but at least he was an intellectual who could write a story. He wrote a very good story that apparently Obama took literally. We return to Unprotected Talk and all the breaking news right here on the Savage Nation. We'll bring you the breaking news as it comes. There's nothing more to tell you other than America's being overrun with hundreds of thousands of Muslims a month from Syria because Obama wants to change the face of America forever. Yes, that's right. It's a horrific story.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We have a nut running America, and his wife is as nuts as he is. So we're going to look at the domestic front now, and I realize they're both sacred cows and you can't say a word about them. But the left-wing nuts who are running America are getting crazier by the day. The new Let's Move executive director is a food justice activist who believes that all aspects of food production and consumption should be shared fairly. The nut they hired, Eschemeyer, who grew up on a dairy farm and is now an organic vegetable farmer, she was the one who campaigned for school lunch reform, the school lunches that the children will not eat. She's been involved in many other of the programs that the First Lady is obsessed with. And people asked her what her food justice program means. And so she says that it means a transformation of the current food system, including but not limited to eliminating disparities and inequalities. Now, what does that mean? Well, now, Stalin did the same thing in Russia in the 1930s. He started by categorizing the farmers in a disparaging manner as kulaks. And he said those kulaks were not raising food properly. Those kulaks were profiteering on food that the Russian people were buying and that they needed food justice in the Soviet Union in the 30s. And as a result, the government under Stalin took over food production. And soon thereafter, in the 1930s, 30 million Russian people starved to death. So if you think that there are not consequences to nuts like Barack Obama and nuts like Michelle Obama, you're mistaken. I'll give you some of the consequences right now. Obama's broken our borders. We're being flooded with illegal aliens by the millions. How many of them are terrorists? I don't know. Ask them. Nobody knows. And so we now have a nut who wants to transform our food production system, which is the most efficient food production system in the world. And here is what the moron says from MIT, that the food system needs to be transformed. In today's food system, farm workers face difficult and hazardous conditions, duh. Low-income neighborhoods lack supermarkets. Yeah, I wonder why they burn them to the ground, you idiot. Go look at Ferguson, see how many supermarkets are left after your friends burnt them to the ground, you moron. But they abound in fast food restaurants and liquor stores because that's what they want, moron. And it says food products emphasize convenience rather than wholesomeness. Well, that's people's choices, isn't it? If you were a poor worker in America breaking your back, building a house from 5 in the morning, something that I know is anathema to you liberals, and you had a lunch break, what would you rather eat, 2 cheeseburgers or a vegetable stick followed by a carrot juice? And the intentional reach of fast, a description of the book states, to combat these inequities and excesses, a movement for food justice has emerged in recent years seeking to transform the food system from seed to table. The nut who wrote this said that she's an avid reader of Obama Foodorama, the blog of record about White House food initiatives. Of course, the First Lady's Garden was left to the squirrels during government shutdown. They could have taken some conservatives from the Tea Party and forced them to leave their jobs to raise the First Lady's vegetables, frankly, if they wanted true transformation. Right, Robert? So here is a woman who was in any other time, she'd be in a straitjacket in a mental hospital. This Eschemeyer, she'd be screaming in a nut house, or she'd be on an early antipsychotic medication like Thorazine. We have the most efficient food production system in the entire world. I just ate some of it from a fast food restaurant. But that's why I couldn't get. No, I don't need a bird cheeseburger. I ate fish, grilled fish, not fried, from the Mexican chain, whatever it's called. Fresh, whatever. It's not really great. I like the sauces that go with it, but at least it's a piece of fish with some rice. I don't eat beans. I can't digest beans. I'm from Northern Europe, so it's not part of my cultural ethnic heritage. I don't digest beans. I just don't have the proper enzymes for it. They could force me to eat beans with rice in the new food system, I suppose. In order to make sure it's equitable and fair, they could force me to eat foods that my body are not adapted for. Yesterday I told you I was going to the doctor. I'm just taking a breather now. It's Friday, so I'll give you a little lift the curtain job here for a few minutes. Not a big deal. I don't like doctors. Who does? I mean, I love them in the sense that they save our lives and we need them, but I try to avoid them like the plague if I can, as we all should. You know, doctor, heal thyself, be your own doctor. I've practiced that all my life. I've been lucky so far. It's not just chance luck. I've read sufficient to hope that it has some effect, and apparently it has. So I went to take stress echocardiogram, which is not a big deal. It's not invasive. So I refused the injection which they used to color the pictures. I said, look, I'll run in a straight line. So the guy laughed. I said, you can't put any fluids in me. I'm not ready for embalming yet. So they said, well, no, the new stuff doesn't hurt your kidneys and liver. And I said, I know, but in 2 years they'll find out it's cancerous. So no, there's no injection. No injection. I'll run. So they put me on the Bob Dole machine with the undershirt. I said, every time I go on that machine in an undershirt with the wires, first they shaved my chest, which was like frightening. He was a very nice guy who did it. We had a lot. I mean, it was one joke after back and forth to each other. So he got the barber shears out and shaved the chest hairs. That's the best part of my body. What are you doing? So he told me a story about when he was a young man in the army, how he went in and he said, he was a black guy. He's a really nice guy. He said, well, when I went in the army, he says, I had a ponytail. He was probably a hippie at the time. He said, and I said to the guy, could you please take just a little bit off the back? And he said, oh, yes, I'll do that. He said, they took all the hair off his head. He said, that's why they used burly guys in the military to do the haircuts. He said, they had like 100 barbers ready. And he said, they made you leave through the back door. He said, because if you went out the front door, the other guys never would have gone into the barbershop. As he was cutting the hair off my chest to attach the wires, blah, blah, blah. So it's pretty miraculous, if you've had it done, to look at your heart beating as you lie there on the thing. It's amazing. I mean, the sonogram, women have this all the time for babies, but us guys don't know much about sonograms. And to see that you actually have a heart that's beating is even shocking, because I joked to the woman who looked like Rachel Maddow, nice lady. I said to her, I said, is that my heart beating there on the screen? And she said, yes. I said, God, people said I didn't have one. She says, no, you definitely have one, and there it is beating. So they did it, you know, resting phase and a different speed and the fast speed and the running and the sweating and the and the dot, the dude, and they lay it down, and it comes in, the doctor and the look and the glasses. And he says, all good. I said, well, what do you mean all good? What are you looking for? He said, what we're looking for is this. He said, here's your left ventricle. Here it is at rest. Here it is at a moderate pulse. Here it is at a high pulse when you're running fast. And he said, you'll notice that there's no reduction of blood flow to your left ventricle at any speed, which means you have no occlusion in any of your coronary arteries, which is, to me, miraculous, because my father died young, my grandfather died young. I've been obsessed with the topic ever since I went into human nutrition, always looking for the answers. And at the end of the day, I would have to say thank God, you know. So that was good. But I was so exhausted yesterday. I did a three-hour show. Then I went to the doctor. Then it was an hour late because someone had a collapse there in the machine, which I always feared, you know, they get me running. I don't like to run. I have an 85-year-old friend who refuses to even walk to his car. If someone could carry him in a chair, he would have be carried. He doesn't exercise. Doesn't believe in it. The strongest guy I know, this guy, is 85, will not exercise at all. None. I mean, he follows the Mark Twain theory of exercise. When Mark Twain said, I get all of my exercise walking to the funerals of my more athletic friends. I love that line. I do bicycle twice a day, but it's modest bicycling for 15 minutes. I never really break a sweat. My pulse goes up slightly. I bicycle on the Dr. Kellogg theory, which is you bicycle for a stability, a certain harmonium in your brain. Another, a two-wheel object, a bicycle, is not just for building up cardio. It's also for balance. And I feel that balance is as important as anything in an exercise program. Dr. Kellogg, the guy who created Kellogg's Cornflakes, used to bicycle a mile a day in a full suit to his clinic in Michigan, I believe, before it was taken over by the pita makers. And he said that the bicycling was not for the stressful exercise, but it was for, I think the word he used was the equilibrium that the human being must have in order to be healthy. I agree with that 100%. And so I don't really like to run a pulse up to 160 where I'm really sweating and it's pounding in my chest. I don't like the feeling. And I even said to the doctor, I said, you know, I don't do this. I said, I believe in the Asian theory of exercise, which is moderation. And, you know, if I'm going to exercise, it's more for balance muscular strength in stretching and this and that, rather than pushing myself to a pounding heart. I don't know where that came from. I don't like older guys over 40 running at all. I don't think they should run. Many of you do. You got to understand there's been a lot of catastrophic deaths from running. You have to understand that. You know, don't buy the Kool-Aid. The most famous one was back in the 70s when I was writing for Runner's Magazine. You don't know this. I had been a runner in my early 30s, and I was thin as a Somali coffee grower. Ethiopian coffee farmer would be more accurate. They don't grow anything in Somalia. They just kill and steal it. I was thin, wiry. I used to run up a mountain every morning. I'd run up a valley in the back of the San Francisco area every morning to a waterfall. I was thin. I was lean. I wouldn't eat meat. It was smart. And one day as I was running up that hill, I heard a voice in my head scream, stop, stop, stop. So I thought I went crazy, but it was my inner voice telling me to stop running. You know, I never ran again for the rest of my life because my body was speaking to me. It's called listening to my inner, you know, body screaming back saying, cut it out, idiot. So these days I do a mild exercise, and I wouldn't say I'm built like a great, you know, with the abs like Justin Bieber with a handkerchief in his pants. But the thing is, I'm in reasonably decent shape, but the thing is the proof is not so much how you look. It's not that you look like one of the models for Calvin Klein. It's really what's going on inside your body, not how your abs look. And the thing is, remember that, you know, it's like substance and face value. I mean, what, outside, inside. Well, it's nice to have both, and I appreciate men who do. But, you know, it's better to be mildly not perfect on the outside and kind of better on the inside than perfect on the outside and rotting on the inside or something along those lines. So when I read Food Justice, I have to say, what a bunch of idiots they are. Well, I've run through that entire stop set quite successfully without having talked about terrorism. So I'll take a quick breath. I'll go have a diet soda, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's Unprotected Talk Friday, which is every day except with breaking news, and the phone number is useless because we're sold out. So I just want to finish up on this madness of our times and me going in for the stress EKG, the Doppler, and the shaving of the chest. And the guy butchered me. He didn't shave all the hair off my chest. There was strips where they could put the patches, you know, for the electronic leads. I look horrible. In fact, I look so horrible that I'm thinking over the weekend, well, I shouldn't even say this on the radio. If he had shaved the entire chest, for example, I could just get a pair of chaps and walk around a certain neighborhood in San Francisco, and I'm sure the mayor would invite me into the mayor's office and make me the Secretary of Education for San Francisco. That's more or less the society I'm living in now, which is that unless you have an eye for humor, you would go insane altogether. Here's one out of Indy if you think things are bad in San Francisco. Guru who ordered 400 followers to be castrated so they could be closer to God is investigated for grievous bodily harm in India. So it shows you another religion with nuts in it. The country's top crime-fighting agency in India registered a case against Gurmeet Ram Rahim, known as the Guru in Bling, for his penchant for garish clothes and jewelry over the castrations at his ashram. The Central Bureau of Investigation said Rahim is being investigated for criminal intimidation and causing grievous bodily hurt after an alleged 400 castrations were carried out. The guru, who heads the Dera Sakha Sauda organization, based in Haryana state, wonder what their cuisine is in that region, is already facing trial for conspiracy over the murder of a journalist in 02, as well as claims of sexually exploiting female followers. Anyway, he manipulated the men followers into castration, and they were told that only those who get castrated will be able to meet God. Mr. Shahan's lawyer, Navrikhan Singh, everyone's name Singh, said we will put all the facts of the case to the court and seek compensation for the victims. Well, excuse me, compensation for the victims? That's kind of an irreversible operation. Mr. Singh said doctors carried out the castrations over a period from the year 2000, but for years his client had been too scared to come forward. You can't make any generalized statements about Hinduism because of this, can you? No. Well, you see, this is where the liberals and I agree. But so far as you know, Hindus are not coming into America and throwing bombs around the place and kidnapping and killing and trying to convert us to Hinduism. That's the difference. Nor are they telling us to follow their way of life. So there's a huge difference between the few mad people in all religions and the many mad people in one religion who want us to either convert or be killed. See, there's a big difference, you know, a huge difference. So don't be confused by it. I thought I'd share that with you on the Savage Nation. So what else is in the news? We'll find in the next hour what that is. We have John Boehner for you right now, lying, saying he's going to fight tooth and nail against executive amnesty, the same executive amnesty that John Boehner funded. Listen to the double talk at 18.
The House will soon take action aimed at stopping the president's unilateral action when it comes to immigration. Republicans are in agreement that this is a gravely serious matter. And the president's unilateral actions were an affront to the rule of law and our system of government. American people don't support it, and as their representatives, cannot let it stand. Uh-huh. I said we'd fight it tooth and nail when we had new majorities in the House and Senate, and I meant it.
Yeah, that's why Nancy Pelosi gave you the kiss on the cheek. She gave you the Godfather kiss on the side of the cheek when you became Speaker because she knew she could do business with you. Now, compare the illiteracy of him to UKIP's Nigel Farage. Listen to the difference in the use of language in clip number 3.
Here's the biggest mistake that governments have made. We have promoted multiculturalism. We have promoted division within our societies. We have said to large numbers of people, you can come here from any part of the world. Please don't bother to learn our language. Don't integrate in any way at all. You can take over whole parts of our towns and cities, and we'll say it's made us a wonderful, diverse nation. That hasn't worked.
God, do we need a nationalist party in America? God, do we need a nationalist party that stands for borders, language, and culture? I would love to go to Washington and clean the clocks of these phony socialist sellouts.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
But even the gangsters in America didn't affect the innocent people of this country. There was a hands-off policy. Even at the height of the gangsters running wild in America, there was a hands-off policy against killing wives and children and family. And now as a result of multicultural terrorism, even that's gone up in smoke. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Here are the headlines on michaelsavage.com. You know the headlines, so I have to repeat them to you. Paris terrorist siege ends, and although the vermin were killed themselves by the French military and special forces and intelligence services, and hats off to them, four Jewish hostages were killed because now Hitler is back, only instead of speaking German and wearing a swastika, he is speaking Arabic and dons a headscarf. Story number two is here, Savage's Cambridge Union address on freedom of speech. It stands apart by itself. Many of you loved it. It's there for the taking for free on my website. Inside the attack in Paris, they say we all thought it was a joke. No one could imagine that this would happen. And so forth and so on. Paris massacre suspects were on U.S. no-fly list trained with Al-Qaeda. But why were they not executed? Why were they not in the Supermax prison in France? Liberalism. That's all. Liberalism. It's as simple as that. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It'll kill all of us. Don't miss this. Savage Scholarship Contest counters anti-Americanism. I'm awarding a total of $100,000 for five winning essays. $20,000 each over 2 years of college. Graduate students cannot apply. It's only for two-year college or four-year college kids, and they cannot have any other financial aid. I've had several people apply who are graduate students, and as much as I'd like to help you, I cannot. It's for lower-level kids, and I want to help them to get to first base while you're already at second or third base. So there it is. Doing my small part to help save what's left of America's borders, language, and cultural values while I still can. We have a lot to talk about, and we have an hour to do so. We can talk about the blood-stained Paris, if you'd like. We can talk about the leftist liars covering up Islam and terror, if you'd like. Or we can talk about anything else, if you'd like. It's unprotected talk. I don't know what you're going to talk about. The rules are simple. You're not screened. I don't know your name. I don't know your city. I don't know your topic. And I go out on this 1,000-foot-high wire without a net and take a chance. So let's begin with line three. Go ahead, please. Name, topic, city.
Hello?
Line three. Yeah, name, topic, city.
Zeke Dore. I'm listening to you on KAOK, 1400 AM, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
And go, buddy. That's what I like to hear, a real American. What's on your mind?
The topic is Islam. I studied the Quran and the Hadith for many years, and you know, the slave girl Hagar was joined with Abraham, which was Hebrew, and they had a kid named Ishmael. They Arabs claim to be from Ishmael, but they're not. They're from the Egyptian slave girl Hagar. But anyway, my point being that you can read through the Quran and just go from Surahs 1 through 12, and you can find out that they say in the Quran that they are enemies of the people, of the Jews, and of the book. Book come from Bible, the Greek, meaning us, the Christians, and they're enemies till the death. You don't have fun with your enemies. Now, the people that's out there and that says they're of Islam, but they're peaceful and stuff like that, they're either backsliding or they're liars. They're deceiving because all is part of the plan to take this United States down.
You know what?
I've heard this before. I've read the translations of the Quran. These statements have not been expunged from any modern editions because there are no modern editions. In other words, there's no King James Quran, so to speak, if you know what I'm saying. There have been no revisions of this 8th century text, or 8th century, earlier than that. There's no revisions whatsoever from the time it was originally written. And that seems to be the problem because many individuals take it literally. In fact, they're willing to kill to take it literally. That's what this is all about. And unless Islam, and Islam has many educated modern individuals, intellectuals at that, there has to be a movement to modify these hateful words. There has to be a modification of these words, or we're all going to be at war for another 100 or more years.
Yes, sir.
Do you have faith that the Christian world will prevail against these throwbacks?
Well, it says that Satan will overcome the saints at the end of time, and nobody can say if that is this time or not, because we can only look back with hindsight. But it's sure good to stay in tune with the Father.
Wait, you said, please say that again. What says Satan shall overcome who?
Satan shall overcome the saints at the end of time. So I don't know if we're at that time or not. But
I have read fundamentalist literature, and many fundamentalist Christians believe we are in end of times and that these Muslims will kill all of us.
Yes, sir. Dr. Savage, I do want to tell you.
I don't believe that, by the way. See, I don't live in fear. Let me tell you why. Because underneath all that bravado, there's just a man with a beating heart. And if you cut him, he bleeds too. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
If you tickle him, he laughs. If you shoot him, he dies. If you cut him, he bleeds just like you do. So that's simple. Now, the Jews have been on the front line in the war against Muslim terror ever since it was founded. Muslim nations invaded Israel and tried to kill the Jews. And fortunately, the Jews learned that they had something worth fighting for and willing to die for, and that was their nation and their heritage. We haven't learned that, by and large, in this country. A lot of our young men have learned that, but they don't come from New York City, by and large. They don't watch MSNBC, by and large. They don't watch the pollution that comes out of Hollywood, by and large. The young men who are willing to defend their nation and their religion, as it were, and their honor, generally come from other places than, let's say, inside the mindless regions of America, the porn belts. They come from the corn belt areas. That brings us to line one. Go ahead, please, on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Name, city, topic.
Mark, calling from Boise, Idaho, on KBOI.
Very simple, very clear. And what's on your mind?
The big new Brzezinski. I would like to talk quickly about what's going on with why you say are all these Muslim immigrants being brought in not only to Europe but the United States, Canada, Australia. I would say this is all by design, wouldn't you say so, Doctor?
Yes, I know. Now let's go backwards so the average person listening us can follow us. Zbigniew Brzezinski is who? I mean, I know who he is. Explain who he is and who funds him.
Well, first off, he was involved with the co-founder with David Rockefeller with the Trilateral Commission.
He goes back to Rockefeller. Didn't he not work for Jimmy Carter?
Correct. He was his national security advisor in 77 through 1981.
Okay. And now he is sort of an elder statesman of the vile left. Doesn't his daughter still have a podium on MSNBC?
I believe he does, sir, but I don't care to watch that.
Right. Phil Griffin hired the daughter and permits this stupid old anti-American fool to speak on that channel on a regular basis. But we have to connect him to George Soros. Soros funded the original organizations that pushed forward the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring was an attempt to bring the Muslim Brotherhood to the forefront throughout the Arab Crescent. And they did so in Libya. They did so in Egypt. And then what happened was the Egyptian people overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood themselves, and John McCain went to Egypt and told the Egyptian people, no, you shouldn't do that. You should put the Muslim Brotherhood back in place. So how do you connect John McCain to Brzezinski? How come they speak the same language?
Doctor, I believe what they are doing is using the Muslims, these multinationalist capitalist elite, they're using the Muslims as useful idiots. It's a divide and conquer method. You spread them out through the United States, through Europe. You create what results out of terror and chaos and fear? The ability to control the masses of sheeple, as you refer to them by instigating things and bringing them into a country and creating chaos, you have more control, don't you, over the population?
Yes, and then you're permitted to spy on the average American under the guise of doing it for their own safety. And then you have a demonic madman in the White House who uses these opportunities to increase his power, grandize more power to himself. You would say that's correct, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. And I would like to point to a website. Please go out there and Google Mr. Zbigniew Brzezinski's name. After that, put in his book, The Grand Chessboard. There's a site called takeoverworld.info. If you click on that, you will see excerpts of this madman, and this is a living Hitler in our days right now. You will see his background, excerpts of what he has to say of things about multiculturalism,
You're talking about the same Zbigniew Brzezinski who told us not to say anything negative about Islam, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, hold on. Before you go on, it's important that we explain what we're talking about. MSNBC, that vile front group for a jihad, has the nerve to put this old lunatic, this Jimmy Carterite, who says the things in clips 11 through 14 that you must hear right now in the Savage Nation.
Some of the cartoons were absolutely appallingly vulgar and directed at the Prophet himself. Now, is that really humor, or is that an insult designed to provoke?
Listen to his choice of words. This stooge of internationalism. The Prophet? You mean there are no other prophets but he? Just think about the insult to Christianity. The Prophet? You mean there are no other prophets on the planet? Listen to the use of words. You mean Jesus was not a prophet? There have been no prophets before him and since? So now he's an apologist for this invasion of America. Listen to clips 12 to 14.
Some of you referred again to jihadist groups, jihadist terror, and so forth. Jihad means holy war. We are advertising them and reinforcing them in their beliefs when we talk like that. The real Muslims are not waging a holy war against us, at least not yet. But the objective of the fanatics is to turn the entire Muslim world against us. And we have to be clever and try to avoid that while opposing these extremists, these fanatics, who do not, as of now, even come close to representing the world of Islam. Words are weapons. And pictures can also be weapons, and cartoons can be weapons. And it depends on how they're used, how they're defined, and how they are received by people who are very sensitive, very aroused, and it's not sometimes in our interest to promote that. So it's a matter of common sense.
In other words, in order to appease Hitler, you should not publish anything that's anti-Nazi. Because after all, they were aroused in the Nazi Party, and they're very sensitive people, the Germans were. And it's sometimes not in our interest to promote that kind of use of a cartoon, for example, putting Hitler's face on toilet paper, for example, which was done during World War II. I would think Brzezinski would have found that very offensive because it could have aroused all of the German people against us, and so forth and so on. Put two and two together. I'll return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So who do you blame for the meltdown of the Western ability, the ability of the West to defend itself against Muslim terrorists and the Muslim invasion? These latest attacks in France, I would blame upon extreme liberalism and those, for example, who oppose torture. Why do I say that? Because the only way you're going to get information out of these very hard men is to torture them, in plain English. I mean, I'm sorry you don't want to hear it. It's very impolite, I understand that. But unless you use the most extreme methods of breaking them, you're not going to learn where the bombs are. Everyone in the business knows that. And they were doing it in third world countries where there were not people like Dianne Feinstein looking over their shoulder. such a, if they caught a terrorist, they take him to Jordan where they don't follow such rules, and they use any means necessary to break them and get information to stop the next terror attack, which could kill you, for example, in your supermarket or your child's school or your subway or your airplane. Now, I blame Dianne Feinstein in part for the Paris massacre. Do you understand why? There's a lot to be said and a lot of blame to go around for the worst terrorist attack in France in the last 20 years. The fact of the matter is Muslim terrorism is nothing new. They've been at war with the West, or the whole world for that matter, for 1,000 years, only now they're better organized and better financed than ever. Unfortunately, for the safety of the West, we have nothing but cowards, liars, and grifters running our nations. And one of the main enemies is Dianne Feinstein. Why do I say that? I don't know the fine lady. I know she's a fine woman who thinks only of the safety of America and Americans. But by attacking the CIA as she did before Christmas, when she leaked the so-called torture report, what she did was intimidate our spy agencies from doing their jobs. How do we know that some of our operatives in some of the worst hellholes on earth were not about to break one of these operatives of the evildoers and get information which would have could have forestalled that Paris attack? We could only assume that she inhibited them from doing their job, the same way that de Blasio and Al Sharpton have intimidated the New York Police Department, which has now basically turned its back on many, many minor crimes. Arrests are down for virtually everything in New York City because of Al Sharpton and Mayor de Blasio. And so by attacking the CIA, Dianne Feinstein intimidated the CIA in plain English. By attacking the CIA and saying they were a bunch of evil torturers, she inhibited the agents in the field from doing their job. They were afraid of either being outed or, worse yet, killed as a result of Dianne Feinstein. And I have said before, and I'll repeat it again, I'm an outsider. I don't work in government. I'm simply here looking from the outside in. There should be an immediate investigation by the Republican Party of the damage that Feinstein's leak did to the CIA's ability to gather intelligence information. It's that simple. She should be called on the carpet and forced to explain what her real intent was and why she did it before Christmas. One man's opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, we've had several people call the Savage Nation today and say that Islam uses deception as their warfare. And they trick us into believing that they stand for peace when, in fact, they have other agendas. And that many of them act as normal members of Western society, but they're waiting to attack us. Now, there's an article just came out that confirms this. Here's the headline on Fox News. If you want to consider it invalid, go ahead at your own risk. Al-Qaeda turncoat who helped U.S. nail al-Awlaki warns of more sleeper cells. He's a former motorcycle gang member from Denmark who joined Al-Qaeda. And then he became a double agent. He claims to have helped the U.S. hunt down one of the terrorist organization's top leaders. He said that this week's attacks in Paris prove that sleeper cells are positioned around the West, ready to carry out fresh attacks. But he knows more about their game than you do. Morten Storm, who was an informant for Denmark's National Intelligence Agency, had firsthand dealings with Anwar al-Awlaki, while the U.S.-born hater was head of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. And he said Western countries must protect themselves by canceling the citizenships of homegrown radicals who travel to the Middle East to fight a train. No kidding. Why don't we cancel their citizenships? Moreover, why do we let them back in at all? Why do we just not let them back in? Anyway, he said, once radicalized, homegrown jihadists can easily blend into society until given the signal to strike. Storm said in a conference call facilitated by the New York-based terrorism research group Clarion Project this. He said, deception is their warfare. One of the things that these Muslim groups believe in is that you are allowed to trick someone into believing that you stand for something else when you really have other agendas. These Muslims will act as normal members of Western society. Storm, age 38, who co-wrote Agent Storm, My Life Inside Al-Qaeda and the CIA, speculated that the suspects who launched the bloody commando-style attack on French satire magazine newspaper Hebdo are likely among many such Islamist terrorists in position and ready to carry out attacks in Europe. And, of course, it was confirmed today that it came from Yemen. And they were living in France. They had been arrested in France. But the French, because of ultra-liberalism and ultra-tolerance, the French permitted them back in, released them in the streets, and the rest is history. This guy Storm was involved with drugs and violence as a member of the motorcycle gang Banditos before going to prison in 97. And when he was let out, he moved to England with a Danish Muslim convert he met in jail. There he embraced Islam, praying five times a day and growing out his beard. Storm claims that it was during this time that he came into contact with Al-Qaeda members and had traveled to Yemen three times before he met their leader, Al-Awlaki, in 06. Now, remember, Awlaki was a U.S.-born jihadist who rose to the ranks of Al-Qaeda and was one of the world's most wanted terrorists before a CIA drone killed him in 2011. The very same drones, by the way, that Sheila Jackson Lee and other liberals say should be outlawed. Storm claims that he left Islam after militants rejected his offer to join their fighting ranks in Somalia. So he began working with Danish intelligence shortly thereafter and continued to be a double agent maintaining contact with Al-Qaeda. And through the Danish intelligence organization, he passed info to the CIA, which he says led to the September 30th drone strike that killed Al-Awlaki. Now, we go on and we listen to more of this. He says they were extremely organized. Many of those trained were given the chance to join fighters in battle and kill government officers and Shia Muslims. He also said they had religious scholars at the facilities to enforce Sharia law, as well as informants at airports that could help pass operatives through from Yemen to Europe, blah, blah, blah. He said what they're really doing is waiting for the right moment. Then these sleeping cells, now in the West, eventually wake up and attack their targets. And the main point to remember is that some of the callers that you heard on the show today said that many of these radical Muslims are using deception before acting as terrorists, or many of the Muslims are, in fact, front groups for the terrorists. This man, Mr. Storm, who was a double agent, says deception is their warfare, is that you're allowed to trick someone into believing that you stand for something else. When you really have other agendas, they will act as normal members of Western society, and then they will strike. That's Morton Storm, and the article just came out on Fox News, and I thought it was worth sharing with you as we sit here wringing our hands, not knowing what to do next. Any sane nation knows what to do next. There are many things that can be done immediately. They should have been done yesterday. For example, anyone who travels to any of these countries and gets trained, you cancel their passport, or you bring them back and put them into a life in prison without trial because they've already committed the trial. The act alone is the trial. So you make a new law which says if you travel to these countries and you train with terrorist groups, you're going to be thrown into a maximum security prison without a trial. Or you'll be sent to Guantanamo and you'll be kept there for the rest of your life without a trial. I mean, there are many things that a nation would do in a time of war, but when you have a leader who is somewhat sympathetic to their beliefs rather than their cause, it's very difficult to understand how we're ever going to defend ourselves. Line 5, topic name, city, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Paul in Fort Walton Beach listening on WFTW. And I have a comment on something you just said, Dr. Savage. You were asking rhetorically why it is that these American citizens who go to the Middle East and receive jihadi training don't have their passports and citizenship pulled when they return. And the answer is that John Boehner wouldn't let the bills out of committee. Three bills were submitted in June and July of last year. The one that was most co-sponsored was the one by Michelle Bachmann, whom John Boehner forced out of Congress. She had to retire after this last session.
Right. Now, why would Boehner reject? Why would Boehner have rejected such a common-sense law which would protect us from these turncoat Muslims?
Because he's fronting for the administration. He's the Speaker of the Uniparty. There's no longer a two-party system in this country, at the top anyway. We have...
Well, that's why I call it him President O'Boehner. You've heard me say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so we have an oligarchy. When I saw Nancy Pelosi kissing him on the cheek after he was reelected Speaker, and he looked like a happy little boy and Mommy was saying, you did a good job, we can now work together, I knew that the fix was in.
Well, you can go online and find all sorts of pictures of him hugging Nancy. And it's a regular kumbaya bunch they have up there. He was reelected on Tuesday, and Nancy Pelosi greased his kids for his reelection. She had 20 Democrats sit down and not vote. 13, granted, were at the funeral for Mario Cuomo in New York, but she let them go, 13 of them. There were another 7 that she told to sit down and didn't vote. So a total of 20 didn't vote.
Right, so it's the Nancy Pelosi party of the United States of America with Boehner as a useful pallbearer at this funeral for freedom. I thank you for noticing these things. Line number 8, next up, name, city, topic, please. What's on your mind? Name, city, topic. Go ahead, please.
Oh.
Go. Yeah.
Tucson, Arizona. My name is Doug.
And topic?
Topic is about Sharia law. I read somewhere that Alabama put in a law in their constitution that no foreign law can be processed in their state because it violates the citizens of Alabama, I think it is. And I think all other states should follow suit to stop...
Oklahoma tried to put in such a law, but the liberals in Congress nullified that law, making America safe for these fanatics to impose their retrograde views of the world upon us. Line 1, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Joe. I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida. And unfortunately... there's only one way we can stop these elites, and those are that's the real enemy, and we have to take to the streets. We're not going to stop these people through the ballot box. There's no way. We can't.
Right. We had the ballot, and Boehner and McConnell took the opportunity to ride in on the coattails of the conservative vote. I understand that. So as I said before the holidays, and when I published "Stop the Coming Civil War," I said our real work begins in January. I've had to put off those plans and those ideas because of this terrorism. There's no question we're going to have to confront Boehner and McConnell on a regular basis with people in the streets. They're going to have to be stopped. They're going to have to be talked to. They're going to have to be constantly told that they were not elected to do Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama's bidding.
And I hate to basically repeat what the previous caller said, but and you've been saying all along is that we have a one-party system. We have the elites running, and they are citizens of the world. They live in Malibu and Martha's Vineyard, and we're flyover country. And these people, they're what they used to call the jet set. You know, they're not patriots. They're not Americans. This is a convenient real estate for doing commerce. You know,
you are talking to the converted. In fact, I'm certainly in agreement with you on that point. One last call at this section. It's Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation. Line 5, you're up. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm Ron. My station's WBOB in Jacksonville, Florida. And I wanted to say that not only do we have a problem with radical Islam, we have a problem with radical liberals who blame Jews for everything that the radical Islamics are doing. I mean,
well, there's one, I hate to say silver lining in this latest Paris attack, which is that they didn't blame Israel this time. Phil Griffin and the crowd at MSNBC did not once blame Israel for the Paris attack for the first time in a very long time. And Jeff Zucker did not let anyone on CNN blame Israel for this attack. To their credit, they understood this attack was because of a cartoon that insulted their religious figure, not Israel. And so the world finally came to understand how fanatical these people are and that it really never was about Israel. It never was about Zionism. It never was about the Jews. Because if you look in the Philippines, you will see that Muslims have been at war with the Catholics there for a very long time. If you look in India, you will see that Muslims have been killing Hindus for a very long time. Wherever you look on the earth, you will see Muslims at war with their neighbors. It has nothing to do with Israel. The Jews simply became a convenient target, which, of course, was a delicious, delicious viewpoint that was picked up by the MSNBC anti-American, anti-Semitic crowd. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation. As we come to the end of the program, I have time for a couple of calls, but I kind of would rather wrap up my feelings, my observations today. We're living in very dangerous times, and certainly we know the threat from the Muslim extremists. That's clear as a bell. It has been for many years to those of us who have studied the Crusades, which were initiated by Muslims trying to dominate the Christian world. Of course, you learned in school that the Christian Crusaders were the villains and that the poor Muslims were only defending themselves. But the Christian Crusades, per se, were counter-Crusades against the Muslim invasions. You don't know any of that. I don't blame you. The educational system is completely warped. When I look back about on my body of work from the 90s till now, from 94 when I began a radio to now, and I look at my articles, my books, all of this tells me that our entire problem as a nation can be wrapped up because of the immigration problem. It goes all the way back to the open borders that were established primarily by Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was the first of the extremists who broke our borders with Mexico. He was the one who talked about open borders. He was the one who put in place the highways for Mexico. He was the one who talked about multiculturalism. And so all of our problems, in my opinion, relate to this open immigration policy, the porous borders policy. This is why America's culture has been decimated. This is why our language has been bastardized. This is why our culture has been trampled. It is because of multiculturalism, which is directly related to uninhibited mass migration. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that multiculturalism has been a success? Can anyone listening to this program truly in their hearts, never mind calling a show or saying what you'd say to your stone friends or your elite liberal friends, honestly tell me that this is a better country because of the massive numbers of immigrants that have been allowed to pour over the borders who do not speak English, do not want to learn English, do not love America, do not want to learn to love America, do not salute our flag but salute the flags of their homeland? Can anyone listening to this broadcast on the Savage Nation tell me that uncontrolled immigration has not destroyed this nation? I think that if you analyze what I'm saying to you, you'll see that the fifth column, living within our own nation, consists largely amongst multiculturalists in the Democrat and Republican parties. And they are the problem, not the solution. And unless we get control of this fifth column, this nation and we the people are doomed. There's no way around it. There is no way around it. They have taken over whole parts of our nation where there are subpopulations that refuse to integrate into society. They worship a different God. They speak a different language. So you'll say, well, that's no different than the waves of immigrants when your grandfather came over. Well, in the large picture, that is true. But in the reality of the picture, that's not true. Because my people came here, and while they may have spoken a foreign language when they originally arrived, and perhaps worshipped in a foreign language, the word was to become American. We were all told, learn English, become an American. It's the greatest country on earth. None of us were told to put bombs in nurseries. None of us were told to cut the throats of people who were not like us. None of us were taught any of these vile things. And so there's a huge difference between I, an immigrant son, and this wave that is currently like a virus sweeping across the land. And unless we recognize the mistakes of Bill Clinton and the radical liberal left, and unless we demand that uncontrolled immigration immediately be curtailed, we will lose this nation within the next decade or two. It can be stopped. It can be turned back. You can close the borders. You can deport those who come here preaching hatred. You can make those who leave the nation and go train in these foreign lands persona non grata and prohibit them from ever returning, or upon their return, put them into a supermax prison. There are many things that must be done. Unfortunately, John Boehner is not the man to do it. And on that note, it's been a very tough week for all of us. A very rough week for all of us. And the week fortunately ended with the death of these throwbacks, but unfortunately with the death of four Jewish people who were held hostage. And once again, as in the 1930s, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine. Make no mistake about it, Hitler is back, only he doesn't speak German this time, and he doesn't have a swastika on his arm. He speaks Arabic, and he's wearing a headscarf.